Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 285 of Her, the podcast, where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, what the heck is she eating in COVID land? COVID eats. That's what we're going to be talking about. Just sit down and start taking notes is all I can tell you. We've got a terrific show, and just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Now, here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after the episode, rate and review the show, because I love hearing from you. That's why. Feedback is golden. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
Well, guess what? We've got Chef Abby Gelman back again. Oh, is that applause I hear out there, Chef Abby?
I think so.
Oh my gosh, they're just rising up there and clicking their little, you know, enameled nails out there, you know, all together. Everyone out there, you know, Chef Abby Gelman is a registered dietitian for more than a decade and a chef for twice as long as that, not to mention a mom to the best kitchen helper in the world. Okay. Now, she's known as a culinary nutritionist because she is everything all wrapped up in one. And I'm talking about one of those spinach wraps, too. Okay. She has a master's degree in science, a registered dietitian, and she is a certified chef. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's just the way it goes. So, girlfriend, welcome back to Her. And what I'm asking you now is, here we are, OMG, going on 7 months of this insanity with the whole COVID gig and with people, you know, beginning to kind of sort of go to restaurants, kind of sort of, if you're sitting outdoors 20 feet from the next guy. And I don't know, it's a little hairy out there. So let's talk about some of the trends that you and I have noted. Okay. The first trend, right, is that people, I would say over the first 2 months, were doing a boatload of junk food comfort eating. Do you agree?
Yes and no. I mean, definitely, absolutely lots of junk food eating and comfort eating. But I also saw a lot of excitement suddenly in the kitchen. It may have been around homemade bread or sourdough or baking or things that are not the healthiest options if you're eating them 100% of the time. But there was kind of a move toward the kitchen the first, you know, few months, I think.
Okay, so there was a move, but there have been shifting sands here. Now, I think that, okay, we're going to slice this up so that everyone out there can identify with some of this, right? So if you go to the junk food place and the comfort place where people are sitting around their jammies all day and going, this is really not happening. Oh, dear God, just tell me this is not happening. And when is this going to end? And when can I do, you know, go back to my pre-COVID life? Well, when it became real clear that that wasn't going to happen anytime soon, I think people probably, you know, started sauntering out a little bit more as the COVID world started to open up, you know, phase one, two, three, I don't know, whatever people were doing and wherever their locale was. And then they put on their clothes and they went, rot-row, okay, those jeans weren't zipping up. You know, it's like, what happened here? Well, you know, there's no major mystery here, girlfriend, because y'all packed on a few. And that's why you can't get in your clothes. So then I think people might have started to pivot back to healthier food and to saying, wow, this is just totally not working. So I think there was like a little, you know, a rebound on that one. And don't you think, do you think that that was a phenomenon that you also saw?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And the, definitely lots of comfort eating and people gaining weight and nobody having to put on jeans or work clothes or anything. So it creeps up on you pretty fast. Plus, obviously more sitting around. Suddenly you weren't walking, you know, as much as you may have been in your normal day to day. If it only involves walking from your bedroom to your kitchen to work, like all the rest of your day, anything else you did suddenly disappears, right?
I think a lot of this has to do with the way people adapt to change. I had Bruce Feiler on from the Wall Street Journal, and his whole issue, you know, he had a fabulous new book that came out called Life is in the Transitions, and he actually interviewed a gazillion people, and what he was able to discover from their lives is, are some trends. There are just some people who just cannot let go of the past, and they're just still yelling and screaming and whining about the fact that things are not changing. And then there's people who are kind of muddling through. They realize they're never going to be the same. They're not quite sure what to do. They're experimenting now. What do you do? And then there are those people who just, you know, immediately adapt to something new. And they're like, okay, I'm all in. All right. If that's the way, if that's the way the virus is going to be, then this is what I'm going to do. So I think that it really got reflected in how people eat. And I think that that's a really important trend. Now, you, Chef Abby, are all about how to optimize all of this. And what as I was thinking about, here you are, fall is descending upon us. Actually, the last day of summer, you know, was a couple days ago. And now we're still living in the COVID nation. So how can we address in a more general way all of these groups, the people who are still kind of clutching on to the past and are, you know, still not happy and you know, eating some funkadelic food, other people who have just said, oh, to hell with it, I get it now, I just have to eat healthy and stop whining. How can we help everybody optimize their food choices and be comfortable in the kitchen? Because so many people are not. How can we do that?
Yeah. It's hard. So food fatigue is kind of, or well, cooking fatigue rather, is starting to set in for anyone who's in that second bucket, who's kind of embraced it and is really all in with the cooking and things. So I've been talking a lot about lately about batch cooking, which basically means taking simple ingredients. So it could be steel cut oats. Now that the weather's getting cool, more people are thinking about oatmeal. It could be rice. It could be quinoa. It could be like some sort of whole grain, whichever bucket you fall in. Like, hopefully you eat like one whole grain that you like. And batch cooking it would be, instead of making a serving for four people, you make a serving for 16 or 20 people. Doesn't take any more time, same amount of time to cook it. You just need a larger pot. And then instead of putting it in the fridge for like a meal prep or having it there all the time, you freeze it in portion sizes. Or again, it's the fall. So maybe you take canned tomatoes, canned beans, some spices, and you make some sort of like vegetarian chili. Instead of making it for four people, you make it again for 16 or 20 and you freeze it in portion sizes, so that next week, next month, when you're feeling funky and you're just going to get a pizza, you can open your freezer and you see that you have a portion of brown rice and a portion of vegetarian chili. You already made the choice for yourself before. Does that make sense? Like, so you're making a healthy choice now that you'll reap the rewards of for the next 3 to 6 months.
I love it. You know, the thing that's really important for us right now is to really realize that it doesn't have to be overly complicated. There are times you just have to set aside and stop whining about it. Just get it done. And then the great news is your reward is that there's a whole lot of warming up going on. You freeze things, you know, keep them in the refrigerator. You've got goodies to go for 3-4 days. You don't have to be running around like a crazy person. And come on, everybody. The mass majority of us are not spending a lot of time commuting, say, for instance. We're not going to that place. Instead, we've got that extra time. So let's optimize it and do something really nice for ourselves and, you know, maybe improve our relationship with our food. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think people get overwhelmed, especially if they're overwhelmed by the thought of cooking, they can get overwhelmed even more by like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. How am I cooking 3 meals a day suddenly for myself and my family or whatever the case in it? And it becomes very stressful. But if you even just getting canned goods like beans and frozen fruits and vegetables and cooking ahead a chili or a stew, you can use your slow cooker or a pressure cooker if you have those, just a little bit of thought ahead and planning could take you 2 hours one day. The rewards of that could be, you know, for months, not even just the next couple of days.
I love it. And what about people who are now experimenting with some of these companies that, you know, send you the food and all you have to do for all intent and purposes is warm it up.
Right.
Or ones that are more like Blue Apron or others where they'll give you the fixins, but you're the one who has to cook it up. Do you see any trending in that whole arena? I mean, are people really using this a lot more or what?
I think people are using them or at least purchasing them. What happens once they get there is a whole different story, though. I find some of the meal kits, so like the Blue Aprons or the ones where you get the components and you have to cook, people who are already overwhelmed in the kitchen are still overwhelmed by that because you're still forced to cook for 30 or 60 minutes a day. And if you want to cook once and eat 5 times, you can't use those meal kits. You really are in the kitchen a little bit more. That being said, if you're fine with that, they can be a great tool and they keep you, you don't have to go to the grocery store as often and all those things. And they can, depending on the brand and the company, the health level varies, like what food you're getting. As far as those items that you receive and just heat up, I mean, I think if you really are opposed to cooking, and again, depending on what brand you get, they can be okay. I just, you know, don't find them to be that tasty. It tends to be more of a bland or rubbery, like that chicken has been frozen and then you microwave it. It's more of like a TV dinner situation, which I don't necessarily think tastes that good.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. Yet at the same time, I'm sort of saying to myself, like I'm thinking to myself right now, you know, over the course of the next day or two, I'm going to go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Going to the grocery store used to be fun.
Right. Yeah.
Now you got to slap on a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you've got these weird things on the ground that say, you know, keep 6 feet apart. Although one of the cutest ones I've ever seen is I went to a, you know, I went to a, what was it? A pet store to pick up some little goodies for my little pets. And lo and behold, it was adorable. I looked down where the cash register was, and there was a little sign on the floor. And it said, keep 6 wieners apart. And they would have little dachshund, wiener dogs apart. Very cute. Yeah, okay, so I smiled at that one. But the grocery store thing is just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just not fun anymore. You know, and I'm walking around and I've got that mask on. I get it. I totally do the mask thing. I'm compliant. I understand the science. It's just, you know, it's changed it a little bit, don't you think?
Absolutely. I'm with you. I don't really enjoy going now either. So for the way that changed for me, which I think can be helpful for other people too, is online grocery delivery. So depending on where you live, will be maybe it's Amazon Fresh, maybe it's Peapod, where I am, there's Fresh Direct. Like that is always an option. You can sit in your home and spend 15 minutes on the computer and choosing your groceries. That also may help you make healthier choices because you're not shopping while you're hungry or facing something that's like, oh, this is on sale, I should just get these chips or whatever they happen to be. And then farmers markets, if you have local farm markets around, they've done a really great job with being able to get produce in an organized, safe manner. And then you have connection to the local farms and that kind of thing too. And then there's lots of other delivery services depending on where you live for meat and poultry and, you know, vegetables. I think it's called whatever the name is escaping me now, but you can order essentially farm produce in the mail, and it's like the ugly produce that doesn't look beautiful but still tastes delicious. So it's almost like a specialty produce box.
Gotcha. I mean, really, you know, really, one of the things that I think people are really trying to understand now is how do you put this whole nutrition thing together for new reasons?
Yeah.
You're boosting immune function. You know, you've got this viral situation going on. So it's no longer about just, you know, like slipping into those jeans and feeling better about yourself.
Right.
It's like, oh my gosh, am I really boosting immune function? What would you eat, Chef Abby, to boost immune function?
Fruits and vegetables. have a plant. So I'm, you know, eating the colors of the rainbow, anything that comes from a plant, you know, fruits and vegetables, obviously a wide range. And those can be fresh. They can be frozen. In some cases, they can be canned. I mean, those all have a huge array of vitamins and minerals, nutrients that all will help with immune function as well as a million other things. And then also making sure you're getting enough protein, you know, like are you in a lean source of protein? I've had a lot of people asking about seafood. They're not eating in restaurants as much, so they're not eating as much seafood as they should be getting. So we talk a lot about pantry items. Canned tuna and canned salmon are affordable and easy to get and easy to kind of integrate into your day, whether it's on a salad or you make salmon cakes. You know, these things are kind of around and available. You just have to be a little thoughtful about it, I guess.
You know, so many people, Chef Abby, are, you know, literally buying oodles and oodles of vitamin supplements. Mm-hmm. And one of the best vitamin supplements on the planet is food.
Yes.
As it were, it's sort of packaged vitamins in whole foods where you can really get the optimal value out of it.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong whatsoever with taking your multiple vitamin, making sure you get your vitamin D, which is extremely important, and mm-hmm. omega oils, to your point about the fact that a lot of people aren't accessing their salmon and
right.
other sources of the omegas. So, but you know, really people, you know, the most important thing is to get it as a package deal. And that's real food. So I go out of my way to grab those vegetables,
mm-hmm.
Grill them, steam them, whatever I do with them, throw them into, you know, salads and back and forth. You can't have enough of them. I have my little rule, and you can explain it. My rule is five colors a day.
That's great. Five colors. I love that rule.
Okay. So you tell me and everyone else why that's an important rule.
So every color in the fruits and vegetables and the plants that you're eating may have a slightly different like antioxidant profile or nutrient profile, even if it's the same. So if you have red, like the typical purple red beets, and then you have golden beets, which are kind of like a yellow orange, you'll have the same nutrients on like the beet, on the basis that it's a beet, but the purple color and the yellow color give you different nutrients based on those colors. So if you're eating green, you're eating yellow and orange. So a yellow orange might be vitamin A that people associate with their eyes. Whereas
the deep greens are the B vitamins.
Yes, B vitamins, yeah. And vitamin K is usually associated with the green. So there are nuances in the different fruits and vegetables that are going to be based somewhat on the color that's happening in there.
Exactly. And the deeper the color, the higher the level of antioxidant.
Right.
So, you know, if you look at radicchio, or if you look at just iceberg lettuce, well, iceberg lettuce is almost white. It's almost transparent. There's not much to it. I'd rather go for spinach. I'd rather go for red cabbage. To be able to get what I know I need. I'd love to, I'm one of those hodgepodge people. I just throw it all in there.
Yeah.
And I just make, you know, the salad from hell and just, you know, have a lot of fun. And oh boy, why am I adding avocado?
Healthy fat.
Yeah. And also, guess what? Potassium.
Fiber. Oh. And well, fiber, potassium. All of these good things. Potassium.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It actually has more potassium than bananas. And so it's really important for people to know that when you're doing something like this, when you're eating food, that you really are having to be strategic. You're saying, okay, I'm going to choose this. And try to have variety and diversity.
Yeah.
And that's important. Yeah. Now, what about the way you prepare it? In other words, grilling, steaming, what? I mean, what gives you the highest level of, you know, raw, you know? What should you do to be able to get the best level of nutrition?
Some of it depends a little bit on the item. I don't want to get bogged down in that, but just as an example, so tomatoes are obviously delicious and super nutritious, and especially when they're in season, when you eat them raw. But if you cook them, the lycopene in them is more absorbable by our bodies.
Cool.
And then there are some other nutrients that are, they're fat-based or water-based, and the fat soluble vitamins, like vitamin K, you need to eat fat with it or your body doesn't absorb it. So that fat could be, you know, oil when you cook it or in a salad dressing. But that whole trend in the 70s and 80s of fat-free dressing was not helpful for anybody. But generally, like steaming and sauteing and that kind of roasting, that all works great. In some cases, our bodies also break down vegetables a little bit better when they have been cooked, even if it's only a little bit of a light steaming. I generally tell people to stay away from boiling if they can, unless it's in the form of like a super stew.
Why?
Because a lot of the nutrients will leach into the water.
There you go.
So there you go. So then you're basically throwing out a lot of the nutrients. But if you're doing it in a place where you're going to eat all the liquid, then that's totally fine.
Cool.
But you know, stay away from deep frying and battered and that kind of stuff.
Okay, fine. I love that. It's just, that's so terribly important. And there's just easy, simple things you can do. Baking, and steaming and grilling. I'm a griller girl. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Love to grill. How can people grill indoors? What do you use to grill indoors when obviously things are going to start getting funky?
I have a grill pan.
Okay. Talk to people about a grill pan.
So I have two of them. You can get a small one, a big one. You can get a fancy one that's, you know, like a Le Creuset enamelware. You can get a cast iron that's $20. You can get a nonstick. I essentially it just has the ridges, like grill ridges on the bottom. So you can grill indoors. You just heat it up till it's really hot, maybe put a little oil on there, and then essentially grill like you would outside, except that you often don't have to keep an eye on it as much as you would because over an open flame or an outdoor grill, things can get charred and cooked quicker than when you're inside. It's a more even regulated temperature. So it's actually probably easier.
I love it. Okay, so now we're grilling. So we're boosting immune function. We're finding different ways to be able to play around, you know, in the kitchen, but also keep it simple. You recommend mm-hmm. that we prepare ahead of time, bake, cook, whatever we do, and then freeze, mm-hmm. Keep it in the refrigerator so that there's no excuse of, I have to order out junk or pick up junk
right.
because there's nothing left in, all right. And mm-hmm. and then just, you know, take a deep breath, be patient, slap on your mask, do all the right things,
yep.
right? When you,
yep.
You know, before you have to run into little issues here. Right.
With
being irritated, annoyed. Have you noticed? I don't know about you, but when I'm in a grocery store, I'm noticing people's eyes and they either look,
yeah.
you know, a lot of people look sad. A lot of people look isolated and feel strange. Other mm-hmm. people are just plain irritated, impatient and annoyed. I'm just finding that
yeah.
it's stressing us, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that, I mean, anytime you're stressed, your decision making changes, right? So, and you might feel anxious through stress. You might suddenly not feel hungry. You might suddenly feel more hungry. Cravings change. Like everything affects our bodies and how we eat and respond. And it's kind of a vicious cycle, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, if I walked into a, you know, somewhere and if I felt irritated, angry, annoyed, you know, impatient, whatever, I think I'd be more apt to do something impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just grab something like, to hell with it, you know,
yeah.
and not really be thoughtful or mindful of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, making a list is even a helpful start. Make the list before you go to the grocery store and try to stick to it as much as you possibly can. It's not always easy, but at least if you have a plan going in, then it's easier to not get derailed by anxiety or stress or feeling overwhelmed or angry, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm feeling good. This is, you know, who knows when this is going to end. And I think it's really important to have a plan in place and just suck it up like everyone else is doing and just say, you know, I got to take care of myself. I don't want to pick up an infection if it's at all possible to prevent. I want to stay as healthy as possible, obviously combining all of this with daily exercise, meaning get out there and walk. Mm-hmm. Outdoors is the safest place to be anyway. But let me ask you the final nuance to this, Chef Abby.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's the fall.
Yeah.
What kind of food should we be pivoting to? What should be our priorities in terms of the foods that we should be focusing on as we enter cooler days and mm-hmm. quite frankly, produce changes. So what are the changes in produce?
Pumpkin, everything, right? Everybody suddenly wants pumpkin, everything. But that's in the winter squash family. So now you might be able to get some really beautiful butternut squash, acorn squash, spaghetti squash. And there's, depending on where you are, there might be a bunch of different squashes that you've never seen or heard of. It could be an opportunity to kind of try some new stuff. Most winter squashes, you could microwave it to cook it, or just cut it in half and throw it in the oven. It doesn't have to be difficult. And there's a lot of great nutrition and fiber and all sorts of good stuff in there. And then apples, if you like apples and pears, have been seeing, you know, all different types of that kind of thing around now. You can go apple picking if you're looking for a good socially distanced activity. And then I feel like oatmeal happens every fall, that people rediscover like a warming, soothing breakfast in the form of steel cut oats or rolled oats. And, you know, you can make oatmeal with a bunch of fruit on it. You can also make it and put an egg on it and maybe some sauteed vegetables. Like, it's very neutral, versatile type of thing. And then, of course, soup and stew and chili and all that kind of, anything that makes you feel warm, I think, is what starts to happen right now. So beans,
I love it.
And lentils are great.
Oh my God, I love lemon. What about three bean soup? Come on, tell me it's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you can probably get at most grocery stores now those soup mixes that are dried beans and lentils. You put them in a slow cooker and walk away. You know, and
yeah,
then you're done.
And you're kind of done. Yeah, totally done. And what about chili and doing vegetarian chili? Ooh, isn't that good for you too? And plus, you know, once again, I'm smelling a crock pot, a little slow cooker.
Absolutely.
Slap it in there.
In the fall, I like to, I mean, it's a little self-help. I'll take a can of pureed pumpkin and I throw that into the chili. And then nobody ever realizes there's pumpkin in the chili and it tastes delicious. So
yay,
that always works great too.
Oh my God. And throw in a little nutmeg. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. And, oh my gosh. And isn't the fall also a great time to experiment with spices?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And this is, again, like it's the warming season. People start to be craving warm things. So ginger and cinnamon and nutmeg,
yeah,
and cloves, all of like that warming, things that make you feel warm inside, essentially. Maybe a little cayenne pepper in there.
And it's all good for you, because I'm telling you.
Yeah.
For instance, I bet you didn't know that, not for you, but for all my wonderful Her podcast listeners, that cinnamon actually is a nice blood sugar regulator. And
yeah,
so most people don't realize that. So I put it on my little multigrain in the morning if I'm choosing that, or, you know, whatever else I can find that I could throw it on. It's just, it tastes wonderful. I'm a cinnamon girl. And just love it, love it, love it. Curcumin, or basically turmeric. Oh, just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
A million things we could talk about. And ginger and ginger. I can't get enough ginger either. You know, just thinking about it, you have so many options. Tell us about your fabulous cookbook and how people can take advantage of your book, The Mediterranean Dash Diet Cookbook.
I can't believe it's been out for almost a year now.
I know.
It's on Amazon. That's probably the easiest place to get it now, is on Amazon.com. But it's essentially Mediterranean style of cooking. So lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean protein. Everything is very simple. I don't want to be in the kitchen for 5 hours. So I try to make everything, you know, half hour-ish. So it should be pretty simple, and everything tastes great, and very like basic cooking methods and things. And it's got a DASH approach, which is lower sodium. So essentially you're using herbs and spices and lemon juice and all these other beautiful things to kind of pump up the flavor while keeping the sodium low for those of us who have to kind of watch that for blood pressure and other things.
Yeah, I think people don't realize how much sodium is in your diet if you're buying a lot of processed food.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you're, you know, out there and you're, you know, just getting stuff from a restaurant, they actually salt the heck out of it because that's their idea of bumping up the taste and the, you know, the attractiveness of the taste along with spices and whatever. So in the best of all worlds, you're controlling your sodium consumption when you cook it yourself. You know what you put in that.
Yeah.
So there you go. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And right off the bat, before we end, what are some nice salt substitutes? They have, you know, all kinds of really interesting shaker salt kind of, it's almost like spice combinations.
Yeah. There's the two favorites that I have been experimenting with lately. One is, it used to be Mrs. Dash. Now it's just Dash.
Okay.
That's always a good one, an old standby. And then there are these interesting spice blends that are by, I think it's called Food Co-op. They're black labels, Frontier Co-op, by Frontier Co-op. And they call them turmeric twist. So there's like a savory turmeric twist that has warming savory spices in it. And then they have a sweet turmeric twist that has spices that are a little bit sweeter in there, and everything in between. So there are all these pre-made spice blends that you just add, and they make a huge difference depending on what you're doing. They can make a pot of lentils or beans or whatever you're doing go from okay to really delicious.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I feel like I'm prepared for fall. Thanks to you, our very own Chef Abby Gelman. Read more about her work, see her videos. So just run on over to Chef Abby, that's ABBIE Gelman, GELLMAN.com, and watch what she does, you know, as she creates magic oft times with her beautiful daughter in the kitchen. And the title of her book again is The Mediterranean Dash Diet Cookbook. Grab it off Amazon. Chef Abby, I can't be able to just express my gratitude enough all of the wonderful wisdom, culinary wisdom, that you impart to all of us as we sit here trying to struggle with how to eat in our COVID nation. So thank you again for being on our wonderful show.
Thank you for having me, as always. Love being here.
Okay. Just trust me. You're back next month. So, you know.
Okay.
Hold that thought. And everyone out there, come on. Run on over to iTunes right now. Rate and review the show, because we love to hear from you, especially me, because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Stay safe and stay well.